we'll start with Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I want to talk about cleaning up our mind. Cleaning up our mind, and that has to be a daily thing. And you wrestle with things all day long with your mind. And the real topic I want to get is not self-will. Once a person gets self-will, they can't get a hold of God, because self is in the way. Now look what Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 said. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your body, a living sacrifice. So you have to put your body on the altar of the Lord as not a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. What else? Holy. How many know holy? Boy, you mention holy anymore, they hate you. You mention godly, they hate you. Because they want to get into stuff like same-sex marriage and lesbians and homosexuals and druggies and all those kind of, they want to get in that, and they don't want to hear anything about God and holy, so it turns it to hate. So look what he's saying here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a what? A living sacrifice, number one, holy, number two, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that brings us to God's will. And be not conformed, verse 2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we're self-willed, we're not in the perfect will of God. We haven't presented our body a living sacrifice. We haven't come to the place that we give it all to God. And we haven't come to the place that we'll suffer with Him. When it comes time to suffer, we say, not me. You know, they've got the scriptures all messed up that if you serve God, there's just nothing going to ever happen to you. Don't you ever believe that. You're going to go through a test once in a while. And it may be a trying test to prove, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to go to the book of Titus here just a minute, chapter 1. And we're talking about the renewing of your mind, the perfect will of God. And listen to what he's saying here. Let's go to verse 7. A bishop, that's a minister, that's the top of the line, a bishop, huh? Who knows? If Josh just stays in there, he just got saved here a couple of months ago, he may someday be a bishop, not just a preacher. Jason, you may someday be a bishop. You may be a pastor. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap themselves together, teachers having itching ears. And that's what we've got today. They've got itching ears. They want to hear what you want them to preach, and they'll preach it. But that's not the way. Now, Jesus said, I'm the way, John 14, 6. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, here's what he's saying here in Titus about a bishop, a ministry. Amen. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless. Blameless. Huh? You know, when you're being accused, how many knows the devil is the accuser of the brethren? When you're being accused, stand there blameless. Don't have wrongdoing in your heart. You're blameless. He must be blameless. The next thing, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, which is money. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word that he hath been taught, that he may be able with sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Now, Titus, Paul left him in Crete to do this job and set things in order, the things that were wanting. Now, I want to tell you, if you think that you've suffered, you let God send you to a church someplace or other, sometime or other, that needs set in order. Well, I've been there several times. God told me, go. Wouldn't let me leave till it's set in order. Set in order. So He's there to set things in order, the things that are wanting. We'll not get into too much of this tonight, but this, he set things in order, the things that are wanting. Get the gainsayers straightened out. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they that are of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, we want to talk about this one right here. Verse 7 says, not self-willed. Now, Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 39, when he was getting ready to face the cross, he said, Father, now he had a flesh just like you and I. God fixed it that way. Somebody said, why didn't he just make an angel instead of a son? That's not what God wanted. God wanted a son. He wanted one that could be crucified, one that could redeem man that had fallen, one whose blood would save the lost, a son. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His own son. Now here, he gave the order of a bishop here, but here he's talking about a bishop must be blameless and he can't be self-willed. So self-willed is not in God's will, is it? But Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Somebody said, would you say? I'd say it too, probably. But Jesus said something else, show you about his will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And you know, he said in another scripture, he said, he that sent me, Jesus talking about the Father, is always with me, for I do always the thing that pleases him. The scripture tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes were healed. There was a purpose for all this, and it wasn't his will, it was the Father's will, and he was doing something that pleased the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. So here we find that you can't be self-willed. You know, God may send me to a church somewhere or other again someday that needs to be set in order. And you know, my old natural man is going to say, I don't want to go. And I pray a little while, and after a while God said, are you ready to go? I don't want to go. Huh? But finally you say, no, all right, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know what? If you don't go, he won't stay with you. And if you do go, he'll go with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I'll be right with you. Whatever you meet, I'll be there to help you. I'll be there to do something that will help you out, regardless of what it is, regardless how rough it gets, regardless how tough it gets. I'll be with you. Now, that's not being self-willed. That's being in the will of God. Now, all day long, whether you realize it or not, there's a battle goes on inside of you. Huh? Come up here, Jason. I'll let you help me here just a minute. Now, a battle. He's learning a lot, though. I mean, he's really getting in this thing. Now, he's got a soul up here. He's got a flesh here. And he's got a spirit. Because man is a spirit, and he's a soul, and he's a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said that the whole spirit, soul, and body be found what? Blameless. How long? Unto the coming of the Lord. You've learned that. You got that in your spirit. See, when you get something in your spirit. Now, here's what you have all day long. You have a battle between the flesh wants to go one way, and the spirit's pulling the other way. And this poor old mind, which is the soul up here, it's so twisted around listening to the flesh. It has to listen to the flesh. It has to listen to the spirit. Now, how many knows that that soul, after all day long, it needs cleared? Your computer, when it gets a disease in it, you have to get it, what is it you call it? Debugging it. That's one way of putting it. So you have to have your soul debugged. Some folks haven't had their soul debugged for a year or two, maybe. You're packing trash around. You got to get rid of that. You got to dump it. Hebrews 12 and 1 said, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us do what? Let us lay aside what? Every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. Looking unto Jesus, the what? The author and the finisher of your faith. Who for what? Who for the joy set before him? He heard the cross, despising what? The shame. He run it and he sat down where? At the right hand of the majesty on high. Huh? Come on. Now how about that? Consider him. Which what? Endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves. Lest you be weary and faint. Where are you going to faint? In your mind. You see, a lot of folks trying to carry around this weight all the time and be spiritual. Well, I'm worried about what Sister Susie said, and I'm worried about that fella. He don't like me, and I'm worried about this, and I heard this, and I heard that, and this and that, and something else, and I don't know what to do. I'm just so wore out. I'm wore out. I'll tell you what's wore out. Your soul is wore out trying to deal. Every hour of the day, you're dealing with your soul to your flesh and to your spirit. Now, Paul said, not as I've already attained. Philippians chapter 3. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, reaching for those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know how you got all that? Listening to the word, reading the word, listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. And you can't hear. See, hearing, you got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And Matthew 7:24 said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came, the house stood because it was builded upon a rock. The way you build your house upon a rock is get rid of the junk. Then you got to get the rock in here and in here. How many knows who the rock is? The rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. When you get all this, you're going to meet all kinds of things. Huh? When you preach, there's going to be somebody saying there, I don't like that. Huh? I don't like that. You can just tell them, I don't believe that way. I don't believe in holiness. Well, what kind of Bible is that? That ain't the devil's Bible. That's a holy Bible. Huh? Yes, it is. It's righteousness. It's holiness. It's godly. You know, we got all kinds of stuff. I've had a kind of a seminar here, a whole sermon on it one night about things that can be legal, all those kind of things, but yet are not godly. It's legal for a man to marry a man, but it ain't godly. Huh? It's legal to do all these things that he preached about Sunday morning, but it ain't godly. See, we're going to have to look at what things now. Is it godly or is it not? See, things is in such a mess across the world, and it's got in the churches, and I don't mind telling you, I don't mind preaching to them, but I don't want to be connected with a church that's got all the junk in it they've got today. It's carnal. To be carnally minded, Romans 8:6 said, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. There's no place for rock music in this old soul. There's no place for the things that they're doing in church today for this old soul. It confuses the mind. When they begin to play some of this stuff, it begins to get a... I have to get my mind off of it, get away from it. So we're supposed to submit ourselves to God. Huh? James chapter 4, verse 7, I believe it is. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And what? Resist the devil. And what's he going to do? He's going to flee. He's going to get... Somebody said, I don't know how to get rid of the devil. He's been after me all day. I just don't know how to... I'll tell you how to get rid of him. Submit yourself to God and resist him. Somebody told me one day, said, I'm just going to resist the devil and he'll flee. I said, it won't work. He said, what do you mean it won't work? I said, you left something out. He said, what did I leave out? I said, submit yourselves to God. You got to submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, and he'll get out of your way. He won't be around you. He'll not stay there. He may come and he may tamper around with your mind a little bit, But you'll submit yourself to God and you'll resist him and he will flee. He'll get out of there. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual side of this, we've got to let the Spirit lead us through all this attack on the flesh, on the soul. We've got to let the Spirit lead us. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. But you got to be led by the Spirit of God. So these things here, not self-willed. Not self-willed. Now, Titus said they're self-willed. They do what they want to do. Forget about God. So we are wrestling. How many could see? You don't know how many battles your mind goes through a day. You trying to make a decision. The flesh says one thing. The Spirit says something else. Now, what are you going to listen to? You going to listen to what? The Spirit. Not by might. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 said, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit will lead you. It will float you through. When you clarify, see, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Of your mind. What does that do? That you proves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to be in the will of God? Keep your mind clear there. Follow the Spirit instead of the flesh. Flesh will lead you the wrong way. And I've been preaching on how you identify the devil. And we know that John 10:10 tells us that, how you identify the devil. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If it's any of that, that's not God. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Abundant life. You know, our life should be abundant. We should have the kingdom on the inside of us. Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm searching. I want righteousness, peace, and joy. Now that identifies who? Who's in there then? Christ Jesus. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. But he said, that thief come to kill you. He come to steal from you. And he does it right here. Right here. Here's the key to it right here. The soul. Receive ye the engrafted word, Jude said, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word is able to save your soul. How powerful is the word? Paul said, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, first to the Jew, then to the Greek, and whosoever believeth. We're not ashamed of it, are we? Power of God. The Word of God is the power of God. Somebody said they've lost the power in the church. They need to get in the Word of God. They need to get down. They just hear it. They go and hear it. And the Bible teaches, be not a forgetful hearer of the Word, but be ye doers of the Word, not just hearers only. And when we're a doer of the word, we're setting our house on a foundation that cannot be moved. David said in one writing, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I don't know what to do, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There's always somebody said, I don't know what to do. I'm getting confused. Well, don't get confused. Just let him lead you. He's leading you to the rock that's higher than you are. I don't understand it. Well, no, you don't understand it. You don't have to understand it to get what's in the rock. Because he'll open up your understanding after a while if you just keep getting that in. It's honey in the rock. Honey in the rock. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 7 tells us that butter and honey shall he eat that he might know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Huh? Butter and honey shall you eat. That's the word. Butter and honey. The richness, that you might know what? How to refuse the evil and choose the good. Revelation 10:10 said, the angel came to John and gave him a book, and he said, take that book and eat it all up. In thy mouth, it'll be sweet as honey, but in thy belly, it'll become bitter. You know, in the belly is where you digest it. Amen. That's why your food, the bitterness of the gall, it digests that. And so it's the same way spiritually. It'll be sweet. I've seen people come to church
and just shout all over the place and hollering amen and everything, having the time while I was preaching. And the next day they're down in the dump. It started digesting. Hey, what was he preaching last night? And they get it digested and it turns bitter. We need the Word of God in us and incorporated in our spirit, soul, and body. And when we get it there, we're going to have something that a lot of people's going to desire, and some people not going to desire, they're going to hate. But see, we don't worry about hate. We don't worry about these things. And we do not seek to our will and be self-willed. We must deal with every day to walk with God, the will of the spirit or the flesh. We've got a decision. Is that spirit or is that flesh? We have to choose the spirit. So it's by the spirit. Jesus in the garden, Titus, we've got so many scriptures that we could just go on and on. And God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? And will he not make it good? You can count on God's word. Whatever he says, he will do it. Amen. It's a matter of getting us in line with the word of God. Getting it in there where we obey the word, the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Know the truth. While every head's bowed and everyone's praying.